So good. And it really actually goes right with my message today, because we're wrapping up the monthly series on promises. And I'm telling you, I think it's going to be kind of a sub theme for 2021, promises. Because if we're talking about yes, we need to talk about the promises we're saying yes to. I read a quote just this week by Corrie Ten Boom. If you don't know her story, look her up. She is worth looking up and studying and reading. She's got amazing quotes, but this one I wanted to share with you today. She says, "I've experienced his presence in the deepest, darkest hell that men can create." She spent almost a year in a concentration camp where her father and her sister both died. So when she says she has experienced the presence in the deepest, darkest hell that men can create, take it seriously. She says, "I have tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them." Oh, that is so good. So my heart burns to share this message with you today. The title I'm giving it is Sandy's Top 10. I really hope I can do it in 30 minutes or less. It's going to be a miracle, but because I have stories, honestly, I have stories that could go with every one of my top 10 promises today. But I'm not going to share the stories. I'm going to share the promises, and I want God to write your story that goes with the promise, okay? But I want you to know the word is alive. It is not just a bunch of verses that we're supposed to memorize or even read. And you know I love scripture, so don't misunderstand me. There are times that I don't even understand something I read in the Bible. Yes. Even though I read and study it all the time. In my journal, you would see a verse and you would see a big question mark by it. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, when you're ready, reveal what this means to me. And sometimes it's a long time before he does. But here's what I want you to know. There is life in the word. There is life in the word. It's not just a to-do. It is water for the thirsty. It is bread for the hungry. It is hope for the hopeless. I heard 2 weeks ago that 25% of our population are clinically depressed right now. 25%.
Everybody in the city.
Yeah, yep. I believe it. But you know what? There's hope in the word. There's hope in the word. And so I'm going to share my top 10 with you today. Get ready to fly. Get ready to fly. We will have all top 10 of them at the end of the message. You can do a screenshot with your phone, or a picture with your phone if you want later. The hardest part for me this week was narrowing it down to 10, though, truthfully. I could have done many more. Number 10, we're going to go backwards from 10 to 1 just because it's fun that way to mix it up once in a while. Number 10 has been with me the longest. I was given this when I was 16 years old, and it's one I've held on to all those years. Philippians 1:6 in the International Children's Bible. This is a great promise if you feel stuck. You might feel bored on one end of being stuck, or you might feel like, ugh, there's nothing left. But if you're feeling stuck, this is a good promise to cling to. It says, God began doing a good work in you, and he will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again. I am sure of that. That's a great promise to hold on to. When you're feeling stuck, you go, wait, I'm not stuck. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted until God completes the work, because I know he's going to. You just hold on to it. Number 9, James 1:5 in the New International Version. I'm using several different versions because I looked for the one that I like the most, truthfully. And there's the other thing. If you're going to read the Bible, find a version that speaks to you. And it's changed over the years for me. And it still changes. But find a version that speaks to you. I like the New American Standard Bible. I like the New International Version. I like the International Children's Bible. I like the NIV. I mean, I like All the versions. I like all the versions. Don't narrow me down. This is a good promise if you have a decision to make, or if you're feeling you're like you're in a situation and you're not sure what you need to do. This is a great promise. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Some of us, we come to God and we ask for wisdom, and then we beat ourselves up and say, I don't deserve it. And this promise tells me I don't have to deserve it. God loves to share wisdom with me. He loves to, and he doesn't find fault in doing so. So hold on to that promise. It's one you can count on. Number 8, Revelation 3:7. In the New Living Translation, this is a great one. If you feel like you've gone to a door and knocked on it and it gets slammed in your face, hit you in the nose, then you go to another door and you knock on it and bam, bam, right? This is a great promise to hold on to. I have clung to this at times. It says, this is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he opens, or what he closes, no one can open. So the problem is, some of us, the door gets closed by Jesus and we just keep hitting on it. And we start feeling like something, what's wrong with me that God won't give me what I want? I want what I want. Come on, bam, bam, open this door. Relax. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Rest in his promise that when it's the right door, he is going to open it. And when he opens it, you can't close it and no one else can close it. But when he closes it, stop trying to break your way in. Like that one song that was popular a while back, when God closes a door, I'll look for a window. Not me, honey. When God closes a door, I'm walking away from that door because he knows something I don't know. I'm not going to look for a window. Uh-uh. No way. Trust in his promise that he will open the doors that you need open. We see through a glass darkly. We see, we're so limited in what we can see. Number 7, Colossians 1:22 in the New Living Translation. This is a great one if you keep getting beat up in your head, feeling like every time you come to God, you're not good enough. You're unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. You know God has forgiven you, but you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. I was rewatching Some Call the Midwife this week because that's just a great show on Netflix, in my opinion. I know we have a bunch of Call the Midwife people here today. Men, probably not your thing. Women, you might like it. And one of the precious nuns said, excessive penance is a form of vanity. And I was like, oh my goodness. Some of us, we come before God and we don't feel good enough, and it's really vanity. Because we think we know more than God. If God says, I forgive you, and you say, I can't forgive myself, then you're exalting yourself above God. But this promise says this, Colossians 1:22, yet now he has reconciled, past tense, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Oh, I don't know about you, but in describing myself, I would never use the phrase holy. I would never use the phrase blameless, and I would never use the phrase without a single fault. Never. But that's how God sees me. So when I don't see myself that way, I'm in disagreement with God, with the King of the universe. Hold on to that promise. If you fight this battle in your mind of always not feeling good enough, then hold on to this promise. Post it somewhere, anywhere. Find a way to hold on to this promise. The next one, Proverbs 22:6, I can guarantee you probably everyone in here has heard this promise before. If you have kids of any age, or if you have influence with anyone younger, doesn't have to be birth children, it can be just anyone that you have influence with who's younger than you, this is an amazing promise. And I'd heard it my whole life, but then about a year before I gave birth to my first son, there was a pastor who talked, he was very fluent in Hebrew, and he talked about the fact that there are word pictures that go with many verses. And so first I'll read the verse, then I'll give you the word picture. And I've shared it before, but it's a good one to repeat. Train up a child to live the right way, then even when he is old, he will still live that way. Or train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it, some translations say. Here's the beautiful word picture that I've held on to. I still hold on to. Put a good taste in your child's mouth for the things of God. And when they grow up and begin to taste the bitterness of life, they'll remember where the good taste comes from. Doesn't that change the way it looks? So my whole goal from the time Rem was born to the present moment, my whole goal in life is putting a good taste in my kids' mouths for the things of God. I just want to put a good taste in their mouth for what it looks like to love God and be loved by Him. And many times when I pray for my kids, I pray this promise, God, remind them where the good taste comes from. Just remind them where the good taste comes from. You see, the value of a promise is that you hold on to it even though everything you see and everything you feel doesn't look like the promise. I believe in the last year, God has raised up a people who know how to behold Him and say yes to Him to such a degree that there can be rockets exploding on either side. That there can be a freight train headed toward you, and you're just still beholding and saying yes. That's what it looks like to hold on to the promises of God. I didn't say it's easy, it's just best. It's just best. And there's so much peace there. Number five, Psalm 84, 5-7. Oh, this is such a good one if you're in a season of weeping. Listen, this is a safe place to admit you're in a season of weeping. You're safe here. It's okay to say, I'm not okay. It's okay to say, all I can do is cry right now. It's okay. But hold on to this promise if you're in that season. From the New Living Translation, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Don't think of Jerusalem as a place. Think of Jerusalem as God, Zion. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Oh, I love so many things about this promise, but I'm just going to highlight one. I love that God doesn't say, I will yank you up out of the valley of weeping. I love that. He says, no, I'm not going to necessarily pull you out of the valley. I'm going to instead make that valley of weeping into a place where you get refreshed. Like, how can that be? But it is. It is. If you're watching online and you're in a season of weeping, God wants to turn that season into a place of refreshing springs. Just keep getting your strength from the Lord. Number four, speaking of weeping, Lamentations 3:19 through 26. Lamentations was written as a series of poems and songs that the Israelites would repeat or sing as they were having a somber holiday to remember the destruction of Jerusalem. So it's not your happy, slappy book. It is just not. It was written, most people think, by the weeping prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, right? So this is a good one. Again, if you're weeping, but also if you just have great loss. If you, everywhere you look, you feel like you see loss. Says this, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes you just got to sing a promise. Number three, Isaiah 30, 20 through 21. If you're in a season where you feel like you need constant reassurance of what you're supposed to do next, it's different to be standing before one decision and ask God for wisdom. It's another thing to feel like you can't even pick out your outfit without feeling like it's a hard decision. You can't even decide where to go or when to go without it feeling like a 100-pound decision. My mom said that's been one of the hardest parts of grief for her after losing my father. She said the simplest decisions are so hard for her right now. If you're in that place, hold on to this promise. Isaiah 30, 20 through 21, though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or left. Now, if you think you hear a voice in your ear that you know is not God, then check it with somebody else too. I've done that many times. I'm like, this is what I think I'm hearing. Do you think that's from the Lord or do you think that's not from the Lord? When I was asked to submit my resume to possibly be pastor of Oak River, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was looking for the voice behind me. And then I said, okay, I don't know what I'm hearing here. So I'm going to talk to people that I know and love and respect before I make a decision, right? The Lord will be with you to speak into your ear, whether it's his own voice or through someone else. He will speak and show you every decision that you need to make. Every decision. Number two, Isaiah 54:10-13. This is a great promise to hold on to if you feel like you're starting over from scratch. And everybody's like, oh, you get to have a new beginning. And you're like, that's great, but I feel like my whole life has been razed. And I can't even find building materials to build something. So I'm glad you see it as a new beginning. I see nothing but destruction. This is the promise I want to give you today. Isaiah 54:10-13. I'm reading from the Passion Translation for this one. Even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills disappear, my heart, God is talking, my heart of steadfast, faithful love will never leave you, and my covenant of peace with you will never be shaken, says Yahweh, whose love and compassion will never give up on you. You unhappy one. I am so glad God lets me be unhappy when I'm unhappy. He doesn't tell me, knock it off. You unhappy one, storm-tossed and troubled, I am ready to rebuild you with precious stones and embed your foundation with sapphires. I will make your towers of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious, delightful stones. All your children will be taught by Yahweh, and great will be their peace and prosperity. Listen, if you feel like you have to start over, stop looking for building materials. God's got it. God's got it. And when he builds well with gold and sapphires and rubies and things that we think are only precious gems. He says, ah, let's get extravagant. So let him build. It would be a mess if I tried anyway, I'm telling you. My number one promise, and these are not in order of importance, they're more chronological, if I'm being honest. I went from oldest to most recent. This promise was given to me by three different sources in 3 months. And when that happens, you kind of pay attention, you know? It's from Song of Songs 2:10-13, again from the Passion Translation. If you know you're in a new season, you're ready to let God rebuild, this is the promise you hold on to. While he's rebuilding, this is what you hold on to, okay? You don't just wait. You read this verse and hold on to it. The one I love calls to me, arise, my dearest. This is God speaking to your heart. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth. Boy, have they ever today. And left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Nothing like waking up to the sound of birds singing. That's what he's talking about. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are blooming everywhere. The fragrance of the flowers whispers, there's change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. So those are my top 10. I would love it if you had any or all of those as your top 10, but I would mostly love it if you dig in and find your own top 10. And I'm happy to share. They're for all of us. Find promises. that you can hold on to. Because the whole thing about yes is that you hear what God says and then you say yes to it and you come into agreement with it. It's like I actually posted, I think it was yesterday on my promises of Lent, that when God said, my power is made most clear in your weakness, right? To Paul, he said that. And I kind of laughed and I thought, how many times in my life has God said, my power is made perfect in your weakness, and then I fight to be strong? What? No, saying yes to his promise is going, okay, I'm willing to be weak if you're going to be strongest in that. I'm willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to be, whoo, admit to people I'm not perfect. So I encourage you to find your promises. I think it takes time to build history with God, but I think it's possible. And so I invite you to do that. God, I thank you for your word that is so alive, that it has been like a meal before me in the presence of my enemies. It has been like oxygen when I could not breathe. It has been hope when I felt hopeless. It has been strength when I felt like a weakling. It has been water when I'm thirsty. I thank you for your living word, that your living word that comes to life inside of me every time I say yes to it. And so I pray for everyone today who's listening here in the room and online, that you would encourage them to find their promises they can hold on to no matter what situation they're in right now. To find one verse, like Dave talked about last week, to find one verse to hold on to in that season. Thank you, God, for making it possible that we can do that and we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So this week is Next Gen Day, if you didn't remember, which means we ask you to give 1 hour's wage to our Next Gen account. And that's once a month we ask for that. So today I want to tell you about two things we're doing with the Next Gen account that you've been faithfully sowing into. We are supplementing, we're hoping to do at least half scholarship for every kid who wants to go to Christian camp this summer. So if you have a kid or a grandkid or a neighbor kid or whatever that you think might want to go to Christian camp, raise your hand. Heather has applications for that, and we want to help pay for that to happen, okay, because of your faithfulness. The other thing we're doing is we're redecorating the River Kids Elementary room. Woohoo! Heather's been wanting that for like 2 years, and it's finally happening, and that's because of your faithfulness in giving, even through lockdown, through all of it, your faithfulness to give to Next Gen. So I just wanted to tell you that's what we're doing with some of the funds, not all of them, but some of them. So I'm excited about that. Next week, we will start our new theme leading up to Easter called Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. It's going to be a good one. Dave's going to kick it off next week with Author and Finisher, right? That's your title? Author and Finisher. Yep. So you know it's going to be good, right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you his kindness. May he have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week.